This is the year of the sword. And we have about 2 months left in this year of the sword. In 2 Samuel 7:18, King David had been blessed of the Lord. And he said, "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far?" Have you ever asked the Lord why he's lavished his love on you? Why he's lavished his provision on you? Why he pours blessings upon you? About a month and a half ago, we were blessed to have our friend Andrew Eastman and John and Kathy with us. I want you to listen to this song by Andrew that he wrote at the turn of the century. But listen to this song with a heart of, who am I?
Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you should care for me? Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you brought me this far? You brought me from the sheepfold into the land, and delivered the giants into my hand. When I look up to the sky, all that I can see is your love and mercy shining down on me. Many men has fallen by my sword. I hate the evil in their eyes, but don't obey the word. When I could have killed my enemy and shed the blood of Saul, your word hidden within my heart told me that was yours. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you should care for me? Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you brought me this far? When I should have gone to battle with the mighty men of war, and I stayed behind in my pleasures, and sin was at my door. The selfishness of my sin I see, consumed many lives. And what a price sending mine for those who are enticed. Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my heart that you should care for me? You brought me this far. You brought me from the sheepfold into the land, and delivered the giants into my hand. And when I look up to the sky, all that I can see is your love and mercy shining down on me. Who am I?
Who are we, Lord? And what is our house that you've brought us this far in 24 years? May I suggest that we are a sword that Father is fashioning to shape the destinies of families and communities and nations for his glory. What has, what does, and what will that look like for us is what I hope to address these next 2 weeks. If you can't be here next week, listen to the recording. Because what I want to talk with us about is how we fulfill our destiny. as intercessors. I want to talk about the making of the sword, a creating an intercessor. I'm going to look at that by looking at how a sword is literally made and then tying it back to our lives in Christ. Thank you. A sword is made by smelting steel. The traditional katana or samurai sword is fashioned only from the purest steel, which the Japanese call tahamange, or jewel steel. Over 3 days and three nights, smelters use ancient techniques and shovel roughly 25 tons of iron-bearing river sand and charcoal into the mouth of a rectangular clay furnace that's built specifically to produce one single batch of jewel steel. Composed of carbon, the charcoal is as much an ingredient in steel as a source of fuel for the fire. The steel cannot be made without the carbon in the charcoal. The furnace will reach temperatures up to 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit, reducing the iron ore to steel and yielding about 2 tons of jewel steel. The highest quality jewel steel can cost up to 50 times more than ordinary steel that's made by modern methods. Do you know how precious you are to the Lord? He's formed you, and the steel can't compare to your value. The Bible tells us that it took Father 3 days to prepare the materials to make you. And then on the sixth day, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us, "Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath or spirit of life, and man became a living being." See, Father's original call on our lives was for effective intercession, for the stewarding of his delight by discerning good and evil, permitting one and forbidding the other. That was what he made us for. And we see that in the next two verses of Genesis. "And the Lord God planted a garden toward the east in Eden," which means delight. "And there he put the man whom he had formed, framed, and constituted. And out of the ground the Lord made grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight or to be desired, that is good, suitable, and pleasant for food. The tree of life also is in the center of the garden, and the tree of knowledge," or the difference between good and evil, "blessing and calamity." So the Lord made everything so that he could make dust to make you and I. I don't know how hot it was in his hand when he formed Adam out of the clay. It probably wasn't 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit like it is in the furnace to make the jewel steel. But the jewel steel has an impurity in it. One of the ingredients that it took to make the steel. The second step in making a sword is to dissolve the carbon. When fired at high temperatures, the jewel steel is never allowed to reach a molten state. Have you ever been taken just to the boiling point? Those of us who have children know what that is. You're about to boil over. This is to ensure that just the right amount of carbon will dissolve into the steel, and that the percentage of carbon will vary in the jewel steel between 0.5 and 1.5%. Any less or any more, the steel is no good. The sword makers use two types of jewel steel: high carbon, which is very hard and allows for a razor sharp edge, and low carbon, which is very tough and allows for shock absorption. A sword composed simply of one kind of steel or the other would either dull too quickly or be too brittle. You don't want your sword breaking in the midst of battle. You've probably seen the old movies where one of the swords breaks and then the hero automatically gets another sword from someplace. Not in real life. On the third night, isn't it interesting? We were made on the third, on the sixth night. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. There's an intense study from Genesis through Revelation of third day, if you ever want to do a study of third day. On the third night of smelting, when the oven masters break open the clay furnace to expose the jewel steel, they use the degree of ease with which the pieces of the newly made steel break apart to discern their carbon content. In other words, these masters know exactly how it feels for the steel to be just right to go to the next step. Will we yield to the master's hand? Will we let him refine, maybe refire, until he says, now? Some people have waited 40 years to hear the now. Not impatiently, but just serving the Lord until he formed them to be able to bear the burden that he created them to bear. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, we read, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us so that he may heal us. He is stricken so that he may bind us up." See, Holy Spirit hovers over us. Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us. Sometimes we've left him. Well, I'll just go over here and I won't get involved, but all of a sudden we get dragged into something and we get involved. And we say, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, don't quote me. Don't quote David. Where did you go? Where did you go? Holy Spirit hovers over us to convict us and to heal us so that we are each the right composition in his hands for the assignments that he desires us to walk in with him. My composition is going to be different than everyone else's in the room, and yours is going to be different than everyone else's in the room, because he's made us peculiar, unique, specific for what he's created us to do. But I want to be like Katie. I want to be like Mason. I want to be like Mark. I want to be like Jesus. So yielded to what the Father asked him to do that when he spoke, Jesus stopped what he was doing. Have you ever considered the first miracle that's recorded in the Bible? May not be the very first one he did, but it's the first one recorded in the Bible. You know what it is? The making of wine from water. Have you ever considered that Jesus only did what he heard the Father say and said, or did what he saw the Father do and say what he heard the Father say? And what did he tell his mother when she came to him and said, Jesus, your drunk fishing buddies have drunk all of the wine. There's no more wine. The party's going to end 4 days early. What is that to me? Mary had such great faith. For 30 years, she had been pondering in her heart all of the things spoken, even by angels, and written about her son. That she turned to the stewards and said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's great faith. That faith must have activated something in heaven where the Father said, speak to the water, or something. Because Jesus only did what he heard and saw the Father do. And so he told them to get these water purification jugs. They wasn't pure drinking water. it was the common ordinary water used for cleansing. Some people say it's used for cleansing bodies before burial. Whole different message there. Are we willing to wait on the Lord so that in the moment he says, like in Lisa's testimony, ask the question? You'll ask the question? Something very simple, but it took years of forming. He knows the soul wounds that will not survive in the battle. He knows the things in my life that can't go forward. That's what coming into Passover was all about this year, was getting rid of those things, those soul wound issues that were be targets for the enemy as we try to move forward in the new that the Lord has. As we submit to the Lord and his refining fires, Holy Spirit delivers and heals and restores joy so that we intercede from his strength, not ours. Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they make an appointment or have agreed? See, putting a sharp edge on your sword truly begins when you consistently set apart times with the Lord to agree with him. I know that a lot of our prayer time is going through my shopping list. Dear Jesus, you said this in John, you said this in Luke, you said this in Matthew, you said this in Genesis, you said this, Lord. You said in Deuteronomy that you will give me the ability to make wealth so that you may display your covenant with me. But do we truly take time to agree with him? Lord, what is it that you have for this day? Have you ever started out doing something and then realize you're in the wrong section? Maybe in the wrong store? Because you tried to do something today that was not on Father's calendar for today? Or am I the only one? See, we have to allow the Master's hand to break apart the pieces of life that you do not need so that you can move forward and live for Christ. He didn't ask you to carry his cross. He asked you to carry your cross, which is not my cross. It's not Lisa's cross. It's not Ron's cross. It's your cross. And when I try to carry their cross, I've got some impurity. I've got some brittle steel in me that is not going to be a sharp sword that can carry the fullness of the power of the Word of God when I speak to the enemy. You know, the enemy knows your makeup much better than you do. He knows your hot button. He knows your apathy button. He knows your indifference button. And he knows how to play a tune on all of us. See, in this step, the Lord has taken us in 1 year or in 50 years to the place of purifying our heart that we can carry the authority he meant for us to carry when he created Adam in the garden. The next step in making of a sword is removing the impurities. See, the best pieces of jewel steel are the only ones that are sent to the swordsmith. The swordsmith might be a masochist because he beats and heats and hammers and folds that steel repeatedly, working it over and over and over and over. to combine the iron and the carbon that were just the right contact to make a good sword. This step is vital as it is tedious, because if other elements besides iron and carbon remain in the resulting sword, the sword will be weakened. Maybe that's why in the movies the swords are broken off, other than special effects. Because they just kept a little bit of the teaching of Confucius. Or they kept just a little bit of the humanism that was taught to them in high school. Just enough admixture with error that their sword could not be used in the Lord's battles. See, this repeated heating and folding and hammering draws out all of the undissolved impurities that are called slag. This step allows the carbon that's remaining to be useful for the making of a high-quality sword. Once the skilled smith has removed all of the slag, he can judge the carbon concentration of the jewel steel by the degree to which it yields to his constant pounding. You know, when the Lord puts his hand on us, we may say it's pounding, but it's just a gentle touch. And when I stop whining, he says, "Al's done. Ding! Toast is ready." How many times do we, kicking and screaming, go to the altar? And I'm not talking about the one up here. I'm talking about our prayer altar with the Lord. You've heard me say it before, but I believe that Isaac was 33 years old when the lad went with his father, who was well over 100. He was 133. And I believe that Isaac helped him, his father, put him on the altar, on the wood. But we go kicking and screaming to the altar. I believe Isaac was ready to be made into a sword that could be used in his generation. One expert has likened the eliminating of the slag from the steel to squeezing liquid out of a very hard sponge. I've had to do that before in chem labs. It's hard to get liquid out of a sponge. But these master steel makers know how to get the very last impurities out. The step of removing the impurities can be likened to Father's process for refining the hearts of those who desire to speak to him or to speak for him. How many of you want to speak to the Father? I'm glad to see that. How many of you want to speak for the Father? That's his desire, is that you would be his spokespeople wherever you go. In Jeremiah 9:7, we read, "Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will melt them by the process of affliction to remove the dross and test them. For how else should I deal with the daughter of my people?" In Psalm 12, verse 6, we read, "The words and promises of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in an earthen furnace, purified seven times over." As an intercessor, that's someone who carries the burdens to the Lord. Do you know that the high priest was not allowed to go into the Holy of Holies the one time a year unless he wore the ephod with the breastpiece with the 12 tribes of Israel over his heart? We cannot go into the throne room of our apostle and high priest, Jesus Christ, without carrying someone other than ourselves. Does he already know your need? Yes. Scripture says that he provides even before we ask. But he's desiring us to carry someone else or something else, could be a people group, could be a nation, could be an issue like abortion. He's asking us to carry something else when we come to him, because it's not about us. As an intercessor, we're like the Levites in David's tabernacle. These Levites would maintain their skill and their relationship for 167 hours every week, so that they would always be ready in the 1 hour each week that they had to keep the praise and intercession going before the Lord. For all but 1 hour of every week, they were preparing for that 1 hour. They were focused. Are we allowing Holy Spirit to rake us over the coals? That's what this step is. It's not a negative term, but we have come to make it a negative term. Take my life and let it be wholly consecrated unto thee. Rake me over the coals, Lord, so that the flesh will no longer cry out when you ask me to go. See, if we allow him to take us through this stage, we'll maintain his edge for those that Father calls us to intercede for. Do you know why Jesus sent them out two by two? Because one gets defeated. Real easy. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, we read, "But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the priests, the Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship intercessors, and refine them like gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Then the offering of Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship will be pleasing to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in ancient years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against the false swearers, and against those who oppress the hireling and his wages, the widow, and those who attack Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship and their families, and the fatherless, and those who turn aside the temporary resident from his right and fear me not, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, and I do not change. That is why you, O Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship intercessors, are not consumed." My paraphrase. Are we seeing the adulterers humble themselves? Are we seeing the swindlers broken off? Are we seeing justice and righteousness return to our streets? Maybe it's because we haven't gone through this process, this step, and we've jumped straight to, "Let me be a sword in your hand, Lord." The quality of our intercession is a function of our willingness to submit to Father's smelting process, so that he can use our hearts to express with authority, compassion, and grace what he desires to be done. That's how Jesus moved, with authority, with compassion, and with grace. He was refined more than any of us will ever be refined. Will our sword be too sharp and bring death, or too compassionate and not go to war? You know, that's been the issue with the body of Christ in the United States, is we've allowed the story of the word, the world, the naysayers, the whisperers, the untruthful one, the liar, to filter into our thinking. When Father says, this is the way it should be, who are we to say no? And when Father says, have compassion on this one, who are we to say, judge them? See, if we don't go through this step of refinement, when we get into the heat of the battle, we will not be the sword that the Lord can use. The next step in the making of a sword is the forging of the steel. After the smith hammers all of the slag from the jewel steel, he heats the hard, high-carbon steel and shapes it into a long, U-shaped channel. He then hammers the tough, low-grade, low-carbon steel, which he has shaped so that it will make a snug fit in the channel, and forges the two metals together. Both types of jewel steel are now exactly where they need to be. The hard steel forms the sword's outer shell and deadly blade, while the tough steel serves as the sword's core. The perfect balance of properties is what made the sword the samurai's most durable and prized weapon. See, individually, this stage of the forming of the sword is similar to our being like Isaac on the altar. He was willing to do God's will at his word and in his hands. Or collectively, it's the stage what the Lord revealed to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 18:6. O Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship, can I not do with you as the potter does, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship. Over a decade ago, the leadership said, we're not going anywhere unless it's in the river of the Lord. Is that right? You remember us saying that? Because if we go someplace apart from where he directs us, guess what? You know, a fish on the bank of the river doesn't live too long. Is that right, Mason? I want to be a fish that begets great schools of fish. That means I got to stay in the river. See, if we allow Holy Spirit to spin us on the path to his destiny for those that he asks us to pray for, but God, why do you want me to pray for them? They already have a big church. But God, why do you want me to pray for them? They already have a business with 327 employees. But God, why do you want me to pray for the president? Somebody else must surely be praying for the president. Will we be like Lisa when the Lord says, I want you to go talk to Sarah? You know, some of the hardest people to talk to is our kids. All of the parents, I just get this head bob. Yep. There you go. Did God really say, let's see, that was Genesis chapter 2, wasn't it? Or was that chapter 3? That was chapter 3. Did God really say? Yes, he really said. I don't get to cherry pick God's questions. When he asks us to go, we either say yes or when. When is the better answer? Because it's part of the yes. I can go ahead of time, but he's going to say, I want you to go after you're done praying for Katie and her trip. But why? She's got a whole bunch of people praying for her. Do we have that conversation? Have we had that conversation? See, If we will pray for those that the Lord asks us to pray for, we become the vessel and the weapon in his hand that has his authority in our voice. We used to sing the song that came up at the end of Rob's sermon last week, Mighty Warrior Dressed for Battle. He has all authority, and he said he's been given all authority, and he gave it to us. If we're ready for it, because he loves us too much to destroy us. The next step in making of the sword, and this is where we'll stop this evening, is coating the sword. When the sword's body is now complete, the swordsmith's work is far from over. Just prior to the firing of the sword for a final time, he paints a thick, insulating mixture of clay and charcoal powder onto the blade's upper surfaces and its dull back edge. This leaves the sword's sharp front edge only lightly coated. This serves to both protect the blade and to give it its signature wavy design called the hammon, which later will be polished and brought out for all to see. The swordsmith then places the sword back into the fire to be heated just below 1500 degrees Fahrenheit. Any hotter, and the sword might crack during the next step. Just when we thought we were about to get to the oasis, he puts us back into the fire. I can't remember it in detail, but we'll look it up. But the Lord prophesied through us sometime in the last 3 months that this will be a time that he puts us in his fire and plunges us into his raging river. In the battles ahead, we cannot wear our old mantles or our old coats of mail. You know what a coat of mail is? It's chain link that protects you from arrows and swords and knives. Too many of us say, well, I'm a sharp sword. You know the counter to that. He's a dull blade. Because pride will get in there. That's an old mantle. In this step of making of the sword, a new coating, a new mantle is being applied. It's not the authority that we got in Bible college. It's not the authority that we got in the workplace. It's not the authority that we got in the halls of government. It has nothing to do with our seven mountain background. It has to do with getting the glory the Lord wants you to carry to release his authority through his word. 5777 is a year to receive our crowns and wield our swords with new authority. As apostolic and prophetic intercessors, that's who we are. We no longer dabble with anything that causes admixture with the things that displease the Lord. When he asks us not to watch that TV show, do we shut it off? When he asks us not to listen to that newscast, do we shut it off? I'm not saying anything wrong with them, but are we so attuned to what he's saying that we obey what he's saying in the moment? See, we can't allow anything that causes admixture in our lives to bring the Lord's displeasure upon us. He alone is our mantle and our authority and our sword. I want to share with you as we conclude this evening a vision. This is as close as I could come to what I saw. During the December 29th morning worship services to start the year off right last year, I had a vision. As we were worshiping, I saw this wonderful gold and silver material coming down out of heaven. It was shimmering, and it caught my attention. And what I saw when I looked at it was like, it looked like a coat of mail, but when I looked at it really carefully, Every one of the links was a sword. It was a metal mesh of swords that would move any way, and it came down on our shoulders. And then the hand of the Lord came down, and he lifted that off of our shoulders and formed it into a crown over our head, so that now it was both a crown and it was a mantle composed of millions and millions of swords. And I heard the Lord speak this: in this season, those who allow me to place a new mantle of my glory upon them and trust me to shift them into the new thing I am doing, I will crown them with new crowns to wield my sword with greater authority. That's where we are in time. That's where we are in this season and in this year. Adam and Eve exchanged the mantle of the glory of the Lord for a covering of sin. This year, tonight, the Lord is extending his hand to cover us in fuller measures of his glory so that he can sharpen us for his purposes. Do you want the Lord to sharpen you? Will you allow the Lord to sharpen you? That's how I want to pray to end this evening. And then next week, we'll see what that sword is really like when it's finished by the Lord. Father, you have us in the very place you desire us to be. For we are created in your image and likeness, and you have us here because you wanted us to here. Lord, here is our heart, the very chamber where your word should have the greatest authority of all things. Purify our heart over this next week. Even tonight, Lord, remove the dross so that no slag remains. So that when you whisper to us, we will respond to you immediately. When you say stand, we will stand. When you say go, we will go. When you say be still, we will be still. Lord, as you have put us in the fire to remove impurities, and you have refined us, and Lord, as you have covered us in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask you tonight to refine us once again, so that the chambers of our heart can hold more of your Spirit and more of your glory. Lord, that you can send us to places to speak your word with compassion and authority and accuracy, and your glory touch hearts. Lord, we thank you that you are not finished with us yet. In Jesus' name, amen.